Thank you for calling the Dial-Up Story Hotline. This is The Pendulum by Ray Bradbury. Up and down, back and forth, up and down. First the quick flight skyward, gradually slowing, reaching the pinnacle of the curve, posing a moment, then flashing earthward again, faster and faster at nauseating speed, reaching the bottom and hurtling aloft on the opposite side. Up and down, back and forth, up and down. How long it had continued this way, Layville didn't know. It might have been millions of years he'd spent sitting here in the massive glass pendulum, watching the world tip one way and another, up and down, dizzily before his eyes until they ached. Since first they had locked him in the pendulum's round glass head and set it swinging, it had never stopped nor changed. Continuous movements over and above the ground. So huge was this pendulum that it shadowed 100 feet or more with every majestic sweep of its gleaming shape, dangling from the metal intestines of the shining machine overhead. It took 3 or 4 seconds for it to traverse 100 feet one way, and 3 or 4 seconds to come back. The prisoner of time, that's what they called him now, now fettered to the very machine he had planned and constructed. A prisoner of time, a prisoner of time. With every swing of the pendulum, it echoed in his thoughts. Forever like this until he went insane. He tried to focus his eyes on the arching hotness of the earth as it swept past beneath him. They had laughed at him a few days before. Or was it a week, a month, a year? He didn't know. This ceaseless pitching had filled him with an aching confusion. They had laughed at him when he had said, some time before all this, he could bridge time gaps and travel into the future. He had designed a huge machine to warp space, invited 30 of the world's most gifted scientists to help him finish this colossal attempt to scratch the future wall of time. The hour of the accident spun back to him now through misted memory. The display of the time machine to the public. The exact moment when he stood on the platform with 30 scientists and pulled the main switch. The scientists, all of them, blasted into ashes from the wild electric flames. Before the eyes of 2 million witnesses who had come to the laboratory or were tuned in by television at home, he had slain the world's greatest scientists. He recalled the moment of shocked horror that followed. Something radically wrong had happened to the machine. He, Layville, the inventor of the machine, had staggered backwards, his clothes flaming and eating up about him. No time for explanations. Then he collapsed in the blackness of pain and numbing defeat. Swept to a hasty trial, Layville faced jeering throngs, called out for his death. "Destroy the time machine," they cried, "and destroy this murderer with it." Murderer! He had tried to help humanity. This was his reward. One man had leapt onto the tribunal platform at the trial, crying, "No, don't destroy the machine. I have a better plan. A revenge for this man." His finger pointed at Layville, where the inventor sat unshaven and haggard, his eyes failure glazed. "We shall rebuild his machine, take his precious metals, and put up a monument to his slaughtering. We'll put him on the exhibition for life, within his own executing device." The crowd roared, approval like thunder, shaking the tribunal hall. Then, pushing hands, days in prison, months, finally led forth to the hot sunshine. He was carried in a small rocket car to the center of the city. The shock of what he saw brought him back to reality. They had rebuilt his machine into a towering timepiece with a pendulum. He stumbled forward, urged on by thrusting hands, listening to the roar of thousands of voices damning him. Into the transparent pendulum head, they pushed him and clamped it tight with weldings. Then they set the pendulum swinging and stood back. Slowly, very slowly, it rocked back and forth, increasing in speed. Layville had pounded futilely at the glass, screaming. The faces became blurred, pink blobs before him. on and on like this. For how long? He hadn't minded it so much at first, that first night. He couldn't sleep, but it was not uncomfortable. The lights of the city were comets with tails that pelted from right to left like foaming fireworks. But as the night wore on, he felt a gnawing in his stomach that grew worse. He'd grown very sick and vomited. The next day he couldn't eat anything. They never stopped the pendulum, not once. Instead of letting him eat quietly, they slid food down the stem of the pendulum in a special tube, in little round parcels that plucked at his feet. That was The Pendulum by Ray Bradbury. For past recordings, check out our website at kirkwoodpubliclibrary.org.